We're starting a new series called Stay in Your Lane. And it's not just focusing on driving, but what drives your life? What's driving your life? And your service in the kingdom for the Lord. So today's message is entitled, Serve the Lord with Gladness. Serving the Lord with gladness. In Psalms 102, verse the first part, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And of course, you know the second part up there. It says, come before his presence with singing. And so it's important that we serve the Lord with gladness. Now, Romans 12:11 says this in Amplified Bible, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, but be aglow with the burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 14, the 17th verse, 14th chapter, the 17th verse and the 18th verse, Romans 14, 17 through 18 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Reading out of the New King James Bible. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God. What? What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now, Philippians 4:4 in Amplified says it this way, rejoice in the Lord always, delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Now, this word rejoice is just simply means to be cheerful or to be glad or to joy or to rekindle or stir up the joy by rejoicing exceedingly. Rejoicing is not a physical action only, it is a spiritual action primarily. So you have to make a choice. It's not going to move you to emotionally to rejoice. The emotion is a choice that you must make. So everybody say, I must make the choice. To rejoice. Why do you have to rejoice? Well, you have to be cheerful when you serve the Lord. You have to be glad when you serve the Lord. Amen? I don't care if you stand at the door shaking hands or sweeping a broom or talking to someone across the street from you where you live. You have to be glad about it. You have to rekindle or stir up the joy, or you have to rejoying or refill your joy. That's what rejoicing means. So the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, will prompt us to rejoice so that we can be filled with him. We often say there's always an initial filling, but there are many refillings. Just like your car, oil in your car, the oil of joy, as the scripture calls in Isaiah 61, verse 3, the oil of joy comes for mourning. The oil of joy in our lives gets low, or we need an oil change. For a fresh supply, your joy needs to be replenished or refilled. Why do you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you leak. Some of our cars may even leak oil or leak fluids. You need to refill those. So we require a continuous refilling, a refueling, so to speak. Everyone acts different when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Psalms chapter 89, verse 15 and 16, I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Happy are those who hear a joyful call to worship. For they walk in the light of his presence, your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long. Now, that's a novel concept. Rejoicing all day long. Because I went to church, I'm going to church, then I go to church, rejoice. Before church, I rejoice. And then after church, I rejoice for the word that I receive from heaven. They rejoiced all day long, and you are too wonderful in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. Now, Nehemiah 8:10 says it this way in the Message translation, this day is holy to God. Don't feel bad. The joy of God is your strength. And we said it this way, if you have no joy, you have no strength. And if you have no strength, you can't resist sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow. It's very difficult for you to resist sin when you're tempted. It's difficult to resist Satan when he's trying to oppress you and obsess you. It's very difficult to resist sickness when sickness tries to encroach your body. If you have no joy, you have no strength. And sorrow, when grief and sorrow, which are a manifestation of the spirit of fear working deep within your soul, sorrow comes upon you where you're always sad, mad, moody, upset, irritated. Amen. Am I talking to the right church? Amen. If you have no joy, you have no strength. And if you have no strength, you can't resist. And if you can't resist, those things won't flee. And if you can't resist, they stay around, and then you don't win.
That's right. Amen.
Now let's talk briefly about some rejoice rejectors and rejoice resistors. Because some people want to stay a member of the First Church of the Frozen Chosen. In other words, they're not going to rejoice come hell or high water. And when it's a requirement of Scripture, we must make a choice daily to rejoice. C.S. Lewis said this very powerful statement once said, joy and rejoicing is the serious business of heaven. That means heaven doesn't conduct any serious business without an atmosphere of joy. In your life, he won't do anything without an atmosphere with joy. There's a scripture in Isaiah that said, I believe Isaiah 53, said, you shall break forth in joy. That means that's a directive. You break out of your circumstance, your sorrow, your situation by joy. Everybody say joy. Now, Pastor Mark Hankins was eating dinner with a friend who was a very successful businessman, and he told him he had a sign in his office that read this: you have 10 seconds to get enthusiastic or get out of my office. In other words, when you come into his office, you better be excited about taking care of business. Don't come in there just dumping your problems, because like some people do religiously, they think God's just a great dumpster. I go and dump everything on God. Well, you cast your cares on the Lord, but sometimes he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Whew, glory to God. That means your heart is merry. Your heart is happy. Hallelujah. So friends, how much more should we wake up every day and go to the throne room of grace with joy and anticipating having a meeting with God, and then go out and do kingdom business? King David, by the Spirit, said in Psalms 101 and 2, we'll read it again, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. So sometimes you might not can sing, but you can make a joyful noise. Don't sound like you're a wounded duck or you're a hurt rabbit. Because the sound you make is what you attract and the atmosphere you create. You want to make a sound of joy, a sound of rejoicing in your house and in your life experience. Praise God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Because some people are fully at joy at church, but as soon as they leave church, come on church, they return to being moody. They return to being whining. They return to being complaining and bumping their gums about a bunch of nothing. What happened? They leaked. Hallelujah. Too often they didn't learn to rejoice, or they forgot to rejoice. They made a choice not to rejoice. They consider the old, but consider these Old Testament, New Testament scriptures. Rejoicing is a required regimen and routine of the believer. Now listen to these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm just going to read them real fast. 1 Corinthians 5:16. Rejoice always. Everybody say rejoice always. Evermore means all the time. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice because everything is going fine or everything's perfect, because that's conditional rejoicing, and that's usually after the facts have been cleared and cleared up. Come on now, anybody can get happy after everything's done and you've gone through and you got your arm halfway on your shoulder and, I got through that battle, and your teeth are missing, and you got a couple scars on you, you can finally get happy now. Now I'm caught up with my bills. I'm caught up with my situation. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice just for the reason of being in the Lord. That he is your victor. He is your overcomer. He is your champion of the ages. He is your Alpha and Omega. He is Lord of all. You rejoice in the Lord. Get happy about being in Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:4, as we read before, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Look at Psalms 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Psalms 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Psalms 68:3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them rejoice exceedingly. One image or pictorial definition of rejoicing is to jump up and down, spin around in a violent emotion and shout. Now, most folks would jump when the Spurs are playing. You know, of course, they had a rough season with everything going on, all the drama and stuff. But people rejoice. They'll even party in the streets all night if the Spurs win the championship, as they've done. Or any sports team, for that matter. And when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl and probably will win the Super Bowl again. No, I'm just kidding. this season. That's my favorite team, just in case you didn't know. So, got you laughing. All right. But when they stayed up all night. Some people even tore up the businesses and the street lights and stuff because they were rejoicing. We've got the greatest victory and the greatest victor of the ages. Amen. Psalms 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Mercy includes everything and anything that you may have slipped away from, or you may have stopped receiving your healing, or you may have blocked up or messed up your situation because you've done something wrong, but you rejoice in the mercy of God. That means you deserve punishment and bad things, but God says, no, I'm going to turn this around for you because I'm a merciful God and my mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. He said, for you have considered my trouble and you've known my soul in adversities. And then Psalms 119:162, I rejoiced at your word as one who finds great spoil, great treasure. You rejoice at his word because everything that he's promised belongs to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And in other words, he doesn't say no to any promise. He says amen to every promise. He says, so be it. So you can rejoice. I found it. It's mine. I can have it. Glory to God. So friends, in our daily walk with the Lord, and our number one, and our two, our serving and working with the Lord, and three, by our obeying the will of the Lord, we need to learn to rejoice, to be strengthened, to do what the Lord wants us to do, and to he wants say what he wants us to say. Because if you're not strong, then you're weak. And when you're weak, you resist. You're not encouraged, you're out of courage. We call it discourage. And you don't be strong and very courageous to do the will of God in your generation, to stand up and speak the word of God to your situation. So faith is like the dynamite, the C4, the dynamite substance, but joy is the fuse to your faith. You light your faith with joy. You can't be closer to Jesus, friends, than you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because remember, he said, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52 says the disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some of the people who resist or refuse to rejoice. Number one, the ungrateful. Everybody say the ungrateful. These are the complainers. And that's why we push you need to maintain an attitude of gratitude. You can't do it when you don't have the joy of the Lord working on it. Joy has nothing to do with happiness, because happiness has to do primarily with the flesh. But joy includes happiness and a spiritual force of strength. So this keeps you from running your mouth the wrong way and having your thoughts run wild. Because what you think about, you bring about, and you have what you say. Amen. Did you know people can really identify exactly how successful or unsuccessful you are at the moment when you open your mouth? Because when people open their mouth, it comes out nothing but complain. They convince other people that they're not in control. Complaining is a subconscious way of expressing that you are powerless to change your circumstances. For example, when you complain about your debt and finances, you're voicing hopelessness to be financially free. When you complain about bills and I ain't got enough money, then you're vocalizing and voicing that you're hopeless to ever be financially free or sufficient. When we complain about our bodies, we're decreeing impossibilities over ever being in shape, physically fit, or healthy. When we complain about our jobs, we're expressing hopelessness that it will ever be improved. I'm always going to have a rough time at work. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
See, when we complain, we remain. We remain stagnant, struggling, and stuck without progress. Jim Rohn said this, indulge in complaining slightly and you might as well forget about the future. Spend 5 minutes complaining and you will enter a financial desert. Philippians chapter 2 verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. Number two, these are the people that resist or refuse to rejoice. The unsecure. So number one's the ungrateful, the complainers. Number two is the insecure, the comparers. Theodore Roosevelt once said, comparison is the thief of joy. And we see it all over now in today's contemporary society. People compare people's Facebook pictures and they get upset because they're upset. Pastor Steve Furtick said this, the reason why we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. So they might post wonderful, beautiful pictures of them being on vacation and they look happy, and then we're in the moment behind the scenes struggling or dealing with something and we're comparing. Everybody say, don't compare.
Don't compare.
The best way to enjoy your life is to stop comparing it to others. We always say you should never compare, never commend yourself. Don't compare yourself to others, because what they've been called to do, what they've been commanded to do, what they've been created to do is different than you. Amen? Somebody else may have been called to be a millionaire, but just because you make $150,000 a year, don't compare to say and feel like you're down in the toilets because I'm unsuccessful because they're a millionaire and I'm only making $150,000 a year. You're rich in God when you do what God's called you to do. Amen. Number three, those people who resist or refuse to rejoice are the unsatisfied in a godly, in an ungodly way. These are the coveters. Now remember, number one is the ungrateful, the complainers. Number two is the insecure, the comparers. Number three is the unsatisfied in an ungodly way, the coveters. They always want something more. They're never satisfied with nothing. Friends, to covet means to be in a state of discontent. To be content means to be without covetousness and to be inwardly sufficient. Paul said he learned whatever state he's in to be content. Amen. Where contentment ends, covetousness begins. You can tell if you're discontent when you start talking about, I got to have this, I want this, I need this. And when you get drawn by covetousness, you're going to go get it without God's help, without God's hand in it. And you're going to try to meet your own needs without God, and then you're going to yield yourself to the dark side of covetousness. Covetousness drives you to achieve monetary, material, marriage and family and business career and ministry success without God's help, without God's wisdom, power, and grace. Covetousness is a way of thinking. It is an attitude of greed and selfishness and not a mind toward generosity or unselfishness in Christ. It's an attitude of selfishness. God bless us for and no more. You're in love with your three favorite people, me, myself, and I. But listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4:10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, now that the last care of that your last care for me flourished again. And though I surely did not care, but you though I surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He said, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, they couldn't get to him. Now I speak not in regard to need, but I've learned whatever state I am to be content. Everybody say, be content. Now, I know how to be a base and know how to abound. Everywhere I've learned to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Some people take that verse out of context and they say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I can do anything I want. Well, Paul was saying in different scenarios of life, the peaks and the valleys of life, I'm content. I'm inwardly sufficient. I'm without covetousness. I'm not looking around comparing and competing and commending myself or commending others and saying, look what they got. I want that. That's why the marketers get all those people who don't rejoice, because once they get the new Apple phone, once they get the new device, the new technology, then they're not happy. Especially when they had to pay it off. Or their bill went up higher. Come on now. Woo-wee. Now, there are several reasons why we are to rejoice, and we're going to close with these thoughts, and then we're going to demonstrate. When we rejoice, we demonstrate the triumph of Christ. We have to make a choice to rejoice. Did I say you had to feel like rejoicing? No. Many times you won't. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, when he was 85 years old, Lester Sumrall went to meet him and wrote a book about him, Pioneers of Faith, that included him. But he interviewed Smith Wigglesworth at 85 years old. And he said he had a glow on his face. He had a happy countenance, a really wonderful countenance. He was in complete physical health and well-being. He was no sickness or disease. And he just had the joy of the Lord and the glow of the Lord all over him. He said, how is it that you're the same every time I see you? How is it at 85, you're all the same? And so he began to give him an answer. He said, I, first of all, when I get up in the morning, I don't ask, his first name is Smith, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell him, And then he said, I give God a 10 to 12 minute high speed dance. Now you think way back then, he didn't have an iPod. He didn't have an iPad to play music for him. He probably didn't even have a TV in his room. He said he didn't need music to do anything. He gave God a 10 to 12 minute high speed dance, and he said, I thank God for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of the kingdom, to be a part of his family, for God being my very own father and me being his very own son. I thank him for the opportunity to serve him as his son. Praise God. He was rejoicing in the Lord. And he said, I thank you, Father, that you're taking care of me in grand styles. Now, he said he did this for 10 to 12 minutes. This is a high-speed dance. No music, no organ bumping. No anything going on. He's just rejoicing in the Lord. He made a choice to rejoice. Somebody say, glory to God. T.D. Jakes said this one time, if we don't rejoice, the devil will think he's winning. Why do we need to rejoice, saints of God? And it looked like we really need it, just looking at some of y'all. I ought to put a mirror up here, and so you can see what I'm looking at. Why do you need to rejoice? Because we, by faith, we need to generate joy. You need to stir up the joy of the Lord in us and encourage us, ourselves, to do the will and work of God that he's preparing us for and that he's prepared for us. I like what Mark Hankin said by the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit told him this. I've repeated it, and I'll say it again. He said, your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. I'll say it again. Your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. Amen. So you need to rejoice again, thirdly, but to equip and enable and empower you to do four things: to resist sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow. Kenneth E. Hagin said when he was had that partial stroke and his left side of his face ran up to almost to his earlobe, his mouth, and he got prayed for in church. The manifestation of his healing was not fully manifested yet, but he believed it received. He got home late in the bed, and in his spirit, he began to laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody say ha, ha, ha. And so he began to laugh, and he began to laugh, and the devil came up next to his bed. He said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. Because the devil had been tempting him, saying, you didn't get your healing. You're not going to get your healing this time. Did you know the devil never attacks you about the past? You might have got healed in 2017. You might have got delivered in 2016. But in 2018, he's telling you, you're not going to get your healing this time. You're not going to get your deliverance this time. You're not going to get your breakthrough this time. And so that's what he told Brother Hagin. He said, you're not going to get your healing this time. And he said, Mr. Devil, he said, I don't have to get my healing. Jesus already got it for me 2,000 years ago. I believed I received. Ha, ha, ha. And he laughed right in the devil's face. What a strategy. He said he's laying in the bed at night, didn't want to bother anybody. He's under his sheets saying, ha, 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 in the natural. And some people say, well, the fake laugh, the put-on laugh. No, let's look at it as a faith laugh. Sometimes you need to laugh by faith. But scientists said this, even though you're laughing just in a natural sense, some people might call it fake, but you might say faith laugh. I want you to think about faith laugh, laughing by faith, or laughing in the spirit. They said the effect on your body and on your life is the same. It doesn't know the difference. So sometimes you need to do it intentionally, on purpose, laugh. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. And then you need to rejoice, to resist, to run. to run with the vision, what God's called you to do, where you've been set under, your great responsibility to catch the vision, to carry the vision, to convey the vision, to run the race with patience, with a fixed focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4 says, you got to run. You can't slow down and stall and get stuck and struggle because I have no more strength, because I have no more joy. God says you got to run your race with patience, consistency, and constancy, and faithfulness. Amen. When the devil can get you off your running track, then it's a sign that you've been weakened and you don't have any strength. Somebody say hallelujah. And number three, to receive. Rejoicing is a harvesting factor. Psalms 126, 5 through 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap where? In joy. So sometimes you may be sowing and you don't feel anything, but you're just obedient. Tears may be coming out of your eyes. I'm sowing out of just purely obedience and faith. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. Feelings follow faith. He said, those that sow in tears shall reap well in joy. It takes faith to sow and faith to reap. And those who continue to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their harvest with. Harvest comes in through rejoicing. Now, Brother Hagin and back in the day, and Pastor Goodwin, B.B. Goodwin, I'm sorry, B.B. Hankins and Dad Goodwin he said, guys, anytime I get my finances get stopped or slow, he said, I go off in my prayer closet and I dance the money in. He rejoices because rejoicing is a harvesting fast. See, some people are easy to dance to music or R&B, hip hop, and they drop it like it's hot and they can just move. But do you ever move in the Lord? Hallelujah. And then Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 5 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little time you be grieved through various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yet whom you seek, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Joy inexpressible. The Bible says in King James, joy unspeakable, or the Amplified says it this way, heavenly triumphant joy. That means the bridge from believing to receiving is rejoicing. So you want to shorten up the time from when you say, in Jesus' name, amen, I believe, I receive it, to you actually receiving it, is rejoicing. And then number four, y'all getting something out of this today?
Yes.
Number four, it's the way how you respond, lastly. How do you respond to persecution? Jesus told us in Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are those that who revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. That means wrongfully criticize, cast aside, ostracize, and backstab you, persecute you. Amen. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What? Most people flare up like a cat. Most people get offended when somebody posts something negative about them in social media. That internet anger gets roaring through their system, and that offense and that anger just starts to spread like a wildfire. But how about rejoice and be exceedingly glad? For great is your reward in heavens. Somebody say glory to God. What about to pain and pressure and problems? James 1 tells us, count it all joy. When, not if, when you fall into various trials, tests, and temptations and trouble. When you fall in, he says, start counting. That word count is an accounting term. That means you need to reckon it up and reconcile as a cause to rejoice. You might have to say one joy, two joy. I got in a scuffle with my husband. Well, one joy, two joy, three joy. That might be three causes. Amen. Or I'm having difficulty with my children. One, three, four, five, six joy. My finances have been acting funny. So you might have to say four joy, five joy, six joy, seven joy, eight joy. Amen. Everybody say, count it all joy. He didn't say it was a joy, but he said, count it all joy. Now, one of the things I want us to learn in this rejoicing aspects, I want to submit and encourage you to, is that when you have problems, don't complain. Don't criticize. Don't cower back. Come on. Go on the attack by rejoicing. 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 Because the devil's brought some bad. Well, we know in this world you'll have trouble, trials, tribulation, temptations. But he said, be of good what? Cheer. I've overcome the world. Somebody say, glory to God. Stand to your feet a little bit. In Job 5:22, he said that you shall laugh at destruction and famine. Now, wait a minute. That seems like that's illogical. I got destruction and famine happening in my life, and I'm supposed to laugh? He said, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. That means you might have to go, ha, ha, ha. When Sister Ernie Garcia, Pastor Ernie Garcia, Ernie and Jerry are good friends of ours, and down in Mexico, missionaries down there, and they said her best friend was in the hospital down in Mexico. It was one of those rough ones. There's some rough ones around the world, but there were some rough ones there in Mexico. And they threw in the ICU ward, in a quarantine area, you know, blocked it off, and they basically gave up on her. You ain't got no hope to live. We ain't gonna even work on you. So she said, my friend is in there to die. And she went to see her friend. She's all closed up on a breathing machine, and they just basically gave up hope and said, well, 2 or 3 days, she'll be gone. And she got up, she got next to her friend, and she said, when she got near her friend, she said, the Holy Spirit, everybody said the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told her, remember what Brother Hagin taught you about rejoicing, that you gotta laugh. And she's in a breathing machine, she's almost unconscious, she can't hardly talk. And she gets down next to her ear and says, remember what Brother Hagin taught us about laughing in the spirit, rejoicing. So she couldn't move, she couldn't jump up and down, she couldn't hardly talk. But she began to breathe in that breathing machine and utter these words, ha, ha, ho, he, ha, ha, ho, he. Didn't feel like it, didn't even have the strength to really do it, but made a choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are y'all here today? And then she said she did that, and he said in 30 minutes later, she was sitting up on the bed. Hour and a half later, she's screaming at the top of her lungs, praising God, laughing, just roaring out praises to God, completely healed of that terminal condition, that terminal sickness. If you knew what was on the other side of your rejoicing, you would rejoice every day. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. If you only knew what's on the other side of your rejoicing, you would rejoice. Well, that makes me a little funny. Well, what's all included? Well, sometimes it's laughter. Sometimes it's running. Sometimes it's shouting. Sometimes it's praising. Sometimes it's singing. Sometimes it's just thanking God and praising God. Hallelujah. So we're going to practice a little bit of praising God and dancing and running if you want to run. And if you don't do anything, I'm going to come around and mess with you. Praise God. And you're going to learn to rejoice.